A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and brother and sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." A reading from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The will of God. It divides, clarifies, illuminates, separates, integrates. The will of God. This is precisely what Jesus has been about since he hit the road running in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. He has been single-hearted and sure-sighted of one thing, the will of God. There is an urgency to Jesus' proclamation of the gospel. His zeal for God's word is palpable, and he is intolerant of anything less. Throughout the previous chapters and verses, Jesus is having to attack the objections, storm the suspicions, and persist in the face of adversity while he is delivering God's word to them, the text tells us. The obstacles thrown in front of him to confuse, intimidate, and stop him are constant. Why does this man talk this way? He commits blasphemy. Why does he eat with such as those? Why do John's disciples and those of the Pharisees fast and yours don't? Why do a thing not permitted on the Sabbath? He is possessed by an unclean spirit. Constant are the intimidations. And yet, we know none of this stops Jesus or scares him off. He doesn't try to figure out a more politically savvy way of healing or a safer, less obvious way of forgiving. There is nothing greater for Jesus than the proclamation of the gospel. Nothing greater for Jesus but the will of God. And those who see this and really get it, those who are touched by its reality, those who are compelled by what they witness, those who are called by its clarity, they join him in his mission just like that, as cleanly, as succinctly as the proclamation is. They leave everything and join him in his mission of proclamation of God's will, the gospel, the good news of concrete, tangible mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and justice. This whole truth, creating a community of disciples like no other. Disciples who give up their families to do the will of God, because nothing is greater than the will of God. Not family, not tribe, not law, not religion. But this is crazy talk. We know it. Just try giving it all up. Just try having nothing greater in your life than the will of God, the proclamation of the gospel, and see where and what it gets you. And friends, Jesus knows this. Jesus knew it, and he knows it now. But again, nothing gets in his way of doing God's will. Before his mother and brothers and sisters arrive at the house where we pick him up today, they have been worried about him, believing him out of his mind. In his society of belonging and protecting familial good, this must have cut him to the heart. But because he lives and breathes the will of God, his heart is set on forgiveness over belonging, on mercy over family ties, compassion over tribal identity. And when his mother and sisters and brothers arrive, he is not ready to chew them out or send them away. Rather, he invites them in. and he invites those gathered in front of him to consider what he knows as the identity of identities, the one who does the will of God. This one is mother and sister and brother to each. Mother and sister and brother who lives. And what of you? And what of me? What of us? Where are we in this gospel story? Are we on the road approaching Jesus, sure he is out of his mind? Are we at the door of the house, hearing the invitation to do God's will at any cost? Or perhaps we are in the house, counted among the company of disciples, the new family in God's will. What of us? What are we to do? What do we do? We know the objections, the stumbling blocks, and suspicions that such a life today arouse. How does my life in the community of disciples threaten my life in the community of 2008 United States, or 2008 Australia, or 2008 Kenya, or 2008 Iraq? Go on and on. Whatever our social place, how do we have both feet in the will of God while still being present and interacting in the community around us? While the crowds are pressing on us, how do we keep our minds and hearts where we want them to be, in the will of God, in the urgency of the proclamation of the gospel? We have to be committed. Not to try to become politically savvy or less obvious in our way of healing or forgiving. Rather, nothing can get in the way of our single-heartedness. And how will we do this? Only by standing toe-to-toe, knee-to-knee, arm-in-arm, face-to-face with Jesus, constantly, daily. Jesus alone can take us into single-heartedness. Jesus alone. Only Jesus can keep us aware of and focused on the will of God. So this means our focus must remain on Jesus. Every breath we take has to be in the gospel, in the palpable and tangible healing, mercy, forgiveness, in how Jesus shows us to live. This then solidifies our belonging in the community of disciples who are in the house with Jesus. We will not be standing outside depending on some way we are connected to him to stay connected to him. We will be standing with him in the will of God.